Amen. It's a good thing that God is our source. Just based on something Kenneth was saying, there seems to be a great shaking going on all around us. When you read the news, it seems like the very things that we maybe 20 years ago kind of thought were unshakable are really being shaken. I mean, they're being shaken mightily. I mean, our economy is being shaken. I read a headline today on the internet. It says, current spending pace puts debt on track to reach $22 trillion by February the 14th of 2014. As it's going right now, according to that article, and I don't know if they're an expert, I just read the headline mostly, our nation could be in debt by $22 trillion. I don't know if you know this or not, but our national debt is larger than our gross national product. Our national debt is bigger than the amount that this economy brings in a year. That's pretty dangerous right there. Our national debt compared to gross national product or the gross domestic product is 104%. It's not the worst in the world, and it's been that way before under FDR. But that's not a good thing. Whereas China, their national debt is only 4% of their gross national product. So it tells me something isn't going that great. We know that homes are still being foreclosed on at an alarming rate. We know that people are saying that our economy is on the brink of collapse. I mean, just this week I read that the U.S. Post Office went belly up on a debt it was like $6 billion that they owed, and they didn't pay it. And nobody said anything because we were all talking about the slowdown or the shutdown or whatever it's called. But they didn't pay it. They just didn't, for the fourth or fifth time, they didn't pay it. They just do it. People are saying that our economy is in terrible shape, and the term they're using is it's shaky. It's being shaken. Our moral fiber is being shaken. October is considered by many to be Gay History Month. It's being touted in many public schools as a positive behavior, and they're teaching our children all the great attributes of all the great gay Americans. And I'm sure there have been some great people who've been gay, but it's not a great combination necessarily, because the gay part will draw the wrath of God, and we know that. Christians and pro-family Christian groups are now considered by many to be hate groups. The fact that I said that about homosexuality a minute ago, many consider that to be hate speech. There is one organization that has great infiltration into the training of our military, and in their documentation that is being read to our military, they are saying that pro-life Christians and that conservative Christians are considered terrorists and hate groups. Telling our soldiers that, and then they retract it when they get caught, but then they say it again and so forth, so they can program the minds of some people. Conservative beliefs and values are being condemned as intolerant, terroristic, and unpatriotic by the secular media. That's what they're saying. Marriage is no longer considered sacred. Almost half of all young ladies live with someone before they marry. Almost half, like 47-46%. And so we're seeing this shaking. And along with that, I mean, there's a worldwide shaking. We haven't heard a lot about what's going on in the world with the financial thing going on in Washington. And I'm calling it a slim down because they never shut down because they were taking in billions of dollars a month. But they, I mean, We quit talking about Syria all of a sudden. We quit talking about Iraq. We quit talking about Iran and Afghanistan. We quit talking about what's happening in North Korea. We quit talking about what's happening in all these hot spots of the world. There's still trouble out there. It's shaky. I mean, there are things that are being shaken. Thank God that our faith is in the solid rock, the one that cannot be shaken. That's what we've been talking about tonight. We will not have to be moved. We don't have to be moved. Here's what the Bible says, Psalm 46, verse 2. It says, therefore, we will not fear. This is the Amplified Bible. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains be shaken into the midst of the seas. It says, we will not fear. We ought to just say that out loud. We will not fear. Just say that out loud. We will not fear. We don't have to fear. It doesn't matter what is going on out there. We do have to take a stand for Jesus. We do have to raise our voice and say what needs to be said, but we will not fear. But if I stay a Christian, won't the IRS come after me? We will not fear, and we will stay Christians. We will stay what we're supposed to be. The Bible says in Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock. That means I'm not going to be shaken. And my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. He's my rock. He's my rock. Jesus reminded us in Matthew 24, verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. He said, you're going to hear it. It's going to be all around you. And Psalm 91 says, I'm going to run and 1,000 will fall at my side, but I'm not. It's not going to affect me. You see, we are in covenant with God. We will not be shaking. For us as believers, the shaking may go on all around us, but the supernatural peace that passes understanding is on the inside of us. And it permeates our being, and it makes all the difference. I love this passage in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. This is the Amplified Bible. It says, for He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way, I like that, in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold upon you, assuredly not. Five times He says, I will not. Then it takes us to verse 6. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Why? Because He's not going to leave me. He is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? We need to be confident in Him. You know what? I could have told you 4 weeks ago how that the outcome of all that debate and what that shutdown of the government. I knew a long time ago what was going to happen. But we can't be afraid of what's going to happen. It may not be what we want, and we still have to vote. We still have to do what's right, but we will not fear. One thing we know, God, I like what it says, He is our helper. But we've got to have faith in what He said. We've got to stay with Him and not be alarmed, not be seized with the fear of the world. We are the blessed of the Lord. Amen. That's what we've been talking about for weeks and weeks. We are the blessed. God confers His blessing upon all men by faith in Jesus Christ. When we come to this place of faith in Him, we receive that conferment of His blessing. We saw that in the beginning, God blessed mankind in Adam. He never rescinded that conferment. Man has abdicated the blessing. But God is now and always has been desirous that the blessing be in force in our lives. No matter what we see with our eyes, for us to know that we are the blessed. God has always had a plan to get the blessing on every person. That's what He wants. So, He chose a man. He chose Abraham, through whom his seed would bring redemption to all who would believe. And we've talked about that extensively. We know the blessing of the Lord is his empowerment upon and within us to accomplish his calling to rise to the highest place of his success. That's what that the blessing causes us to rise. Can I just tell you, our government needs some answers. And the answers aren't going to come out of people's intellect. They're going to come from someone's spirit who has the blessing of the Lord. I mean, there's not an answer in the natural because it's a spiritual problem. And so it's going to take someone with a spiritual answer to rise up. God is telling us to rise, to take his garden and cover the earth. Take his, what grows from him, to cover the earth. He blessed us. He's given us authority. He's given us seed to expand his garden wherever we go. That's what he intends to happen. I want you to think about this verse of Scripture for just a moment. Look at this. This is in Psalm 3, verse 8. It says, salvation belongeth to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Look what it said. Now, we covered last week, we looked at a verse of Scripture that we talked about that we are his people. The Bible says in 1 Peter, we were not a people, but now we're a people. We're the people of God. Now look what it says here. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Selah means, think about that. Think about, meditate on that. What are we meditating on? What are we thinking about? Well, I'm thinking about that if they pass this legislation, it's going to be bad. And I'm thinking about, I don't like this part of our government. I'm thinking about how bad it is. The Bible says to think about this. His blessing is upon his people. Think about it for just a minute. Is his blessing upon you? Yeah, the Bible said it is. Think about it. If his blessing is on you, you can't be cursed, right? Lord, I'm just going to think about it for a second. I am blessed because your blessing is on your people. I'm one of your people. I'm blessed. It's on me right now. Can you just sense the blessing of God right now on this room right here? So think about it. You know, Lord, we've been thinking too much about how bad it is. I repent. I want to think about the blessing of the Lord. It's on the people. I want to do right. I want to stand right and talk right. But I'm going to think about this. That's what I'm going to think about. Your blessing is upon your people. When I'm writing out my check to the electric company that everybody's mad at, instead of thinking about how goofy they are, I'm going to think about the blessing of God is on his people. I like that little word, Selah. Think about that. Here's what we do. We think it says, salvation belongs to the Lord, thy blessing is on thy people, the end of this verse. Now what this really says is, think about that before you go to the next one. Think about this before you go to chapter 4 is what he's saying. Think about that. Think about it. This is what I need to be thinking about. Look at this verse of Scripture. Think about this. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord. Look at this. Who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Think about that. Daily, daily, daily. He loads us daily. I'm daily loaded. Loaded daily. The Lord who is blessed and brings blessing and blesses his people daily loads us with benefits. Daily. I'm going to think about that for a second. Daily. Daily. What? Have I gotten my load today? Well, if I haven't, maybe it's because I wasn't thinking about it. Maybe it's because I was looking at the curse all day. Maybe it's because I was looking at what I don't have, what I can't do, instead of looking for the load. it's entirely possible that the load of benefit was backing up to my front porch and I was looking at my back door at what's wrong. And I never knew they were there because I was looking the wrong place. Yeah, the world is messed up. But God, it's not messed up. He's never made a single mistake. And when I come before Him, and I, instead of God, instead of saying, God, why this and why not that? My response is, God, You don't ever mess up. And I know this. I know, God, You are able to get through to me the benefit. You are able to get through my skull what You want to say. I can hear Your voice. I do know what to do in the Spirit. I am loaded with Your benefit. See, no matter how much shaking goes on in the world, we get loaded daily. Daily loaded with His benefit. Daily. Now, last week we looked at how Jesus was born again from the dead. It was a thrilling study to me. He became our substitute. He suffered our penalty of hell and death. He suffered for us. We saw that He was born again from the dead. That's what the Bible says. The first begotten from the dead. He died for us. God raised Him from the dead for us. All right, we saw that when we make Jesus the Lord of our lives, we are born again. He was the firstborn from the dead, and we are born from the dead as well, because we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. We saw that when we got born again, we became new creatures. And we established last week that we're not just old sinners that have been refurbished because God somehow had mercy on us. No. He loves us. Jesus came, suffered our penalty. He became our sin. We became His righteousness, and we became new creatures. We, at the moment we asked Jesus to come into our hearts, we became righteous, sinless sons and daughters of Almighty God. That's pretty good news to me. We saw that His righteousness became ours. We didn't earn it, just like He didn't earn our sin. He didn't sin to get our sins, just like we didn't get righteousness to get His righteousness. He became sin, we became righteous. That was fun to even talk about that last week. We saw that we became new creatures in our spirits. When we got born again, our spirit man became totally new. And I told you last week that women have a spiritual man and men are the bride of Christ. But our spirit man became new. Our spirit man was supernaturally made totally new. It wasn't just swept off. It was made new, totally recreated when we made Jesus the Lord of our lives. All right? So we found out that this supernatural newness in our spirit is supposed to work its way out. It's supposed to come from our spirit into our soul through our flesh. And we found out we've got to choose to renew our minds, to gaze continually and constantly into the perfect law of liberty so we can receive the total transformation that God wants to bring to us. It's not a thing of getting saved and never looking at the Bible again or getting saved and hearing a 30-minute sermon a week. It's a matter of continually and constantly looking into this mirror of the Word of God. We saw that Christians who fail to see into the mirror of the Word will always continue to see themselves as sinners. And if you fail to see who you are in the Word and you see yourself as a sinner who falls short all the time because the only verse of Scripture you learned in church was that the wages of sin is death and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that's all you know, and you think that's still who you are, then you're going to live according to the fact that you think you're still a sinner rather than renewed. And you won't come to that. And so what will happen is the word that you're meditating on about always being a sinner is going to be what is real to you, and that's just going to help you sin. Whereas if you understand you are the righteousness of God in Christ, it will help you behave in a different way. So I'm talking here, as we're talking about gazing in the mirror, is continuing in the Word. Because Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, Then are you my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's the truth I know as I continue in the Word. This is not about what I learned in Sunday school in 1983. This is what I know now because I'm in the Word continually, constantly. So what happened to us is very much the same when we got born again. It's very much the same as what happened to the Virgin Mary physically when she conceived Jesus. It's very similar. Just as the Word became the supernatural sperm seed in her body and brought Jesus into the world, the Word of God implanted into our spirits brings forth Jesus in us. It's the same Word. It's the same seed. It does the same thing in us that it did in her. Hers was physical. Ours is very spiritual, and that Word in our spirits produces the seed. We are born again in His likeness. And we got to get this into our spirits here. Not just our minds. I'm born again in His likeness. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:23 that we're born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Right now, because I am born again, I am a possessor of eternal life, that is that supernatural connection to God that will last forever, and I am connected to His covenant of blessing by faith in the blood and resurrection of Jesus. Because the seed that put Jesus on the planet is the seed that put life in my spirit. And we have to recognize that. Now, the title of the message is Born Blessed. Born Blessed. Have you ever known somebody who never had a financial problem? I've known a couple people like this. I know this one guy in particular, and I always say this about him. I've said it to him before, so I wouldn't be talking behind his back. But he was one of those guys that was born on third base and spent his life thinking he hit a triple. His daddy was rich. His dad worked hard, man. He worked hard and developed a great business and was a very, very wealthy man. And then this guy, he was raised, and in his life, not one time in his life did he ever go to the bank and borrow money for a car. Never borrowed money for a house because he was born on third base. And I mean, he had money to do whatever he wanted to do. Always had the nicest cars and the fastest cars you could imagine. But he didn't even know. He had no concept of what it would be like to not have enough money to buy a car if he wanted one. Didn't have that concept. When his daddy retired and he took over his daddy's business, he had to buy his sister out. So what did he do? He took the cash reserves from the business, paid cash to his sister. He didn't know what it was like. He was born rich. Born rich. Man, he was born, according to some people, blessed. He was just born out. He never has had to think a second time about whether he could go on vacation or not because of the price it would take to get there. Doesn't have to think that way. Thinks a whole different way because he was born blessed. Well, I want to talk about us tonight. When we were born into the kingdom of God, we were born blessed. Listen to me very carefully. We're not trying to get blessed. We were born that way. We're not trying to get our daddy God to bless us. We are already blessed. We have to begin to think a whole different way. Jesus, the Bible says, let's lay some foundation here. Jesus is the last Adam, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. I'm going to talk for a few minutes just about the DNA of God that's already in us. All that the first Adam failed in, Jesus succeeded in. And we know that. He succeeded in everything. In the first Adam, all died. In the last Adam, all have access to life and blessing. Only in Him, though. In Him we have access. Death reigned through sin of the first Adam. In the last Adam, grace now reigns through righteousness. And we're born into this. We were born into the last Adam. We've been reborn. Remember that. In the last Adam, we who've received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life by one Jesus Christ, according to Romans 5, verse 17. Even though we were born the first time by the first in the lineage of the first Adam, we're born the second time in the lineage of this last Adam who has no sin. Through Jesus, God has restored the blessing of the Garden of Eden. Now, I'm not talking about physically necessarily, but I'm talking about in our recreated spirits, the perfection of the garden has been imparted into us at the new birth. And it's supposed to be working its way from in us to outside of us. So that's what, instead of us begging God to bless us, we need to be responding to the blessing of God that's in us by having our minds renewed. I want you to think about this. Today, just as I was praying, I've never read this in a book anywhere. I'm just going to tell what the Lord told me today as I was just praying about this. The Lord said to me, and He does this sometimes, how He talks to me, He just said, Jesus and Adam. Okay. Jesus and Adam. All right. Jesus is the last Adam. Jesus and Adam. He said, you know how He does. He just think about it, son. Just think about it for a minute. Jesus, Adam. Then He said, Abraham, Adam. All of a sudden, I knew in my spirit He was talking about genealogy here. So I said, okay, what are you trying to tell me? He said, well, look it up. So I said, okay, I'll look it up. So I looked in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. This is what this says. Matthew 1, 1, it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I said, all right, He's the son of David. And I've always known He's the son of David. That's never been a question to me. Or the son of Abraham, really. But the son of David. Remember Bartimaeus was beside the road. He said, son of David, have mercy on me. And when He cried out, son of David, He was saying Messiah, because every Jewish person knew that Messiah was the son of David, because the son of David has the right to sit on David's throne. And so Jesus is the son of David. But that's not all this says. This goes into the genealogy of Jesus. It takes us from Abraham all the way to Jesus. And it breaks it down into groups of years. And so I thought, all right, okay. Now, all right, I understand that. Jesus is from Abraham. The connection is from Jesus to Abraham in this verse. He is the son of David. That makes Him the rightful heir to sit on the throne of an everlasting kingdom that God promised to David. That's very important that He's the son of David. But He's also the son of Abraham. I said, okay, all right. Now, I know there's another place where it talks about the genealogy of Jesus. So I looked in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, the very last verse says, it lists all these people, starting with Jesus, comes down and says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. I'm thinking, all right, God, I know something's really good. Get ready to tell me something really important here. Why does one go back to Adam, one go back to Abraham? Why would Jesus be linked to Adam and Abraham? You already know the answer, right? These two men are the two men in history that, number one, God blessed. He blessed Adam. He blessed Abraham. He blessed them. And secondly, He promised them the world. He told Adam, I'm giving you seed. I'm giving you authority. I want you to take the garden and conquer the world. He said to Abraham, He said, son, you are the heir of the world. Now the Holy Spirit is connecting Jesus to Adam and Abraham because he wants to demonstrate the plan of God to bring the blessing that was on Adam and on Abraham back to the earth through Jesus Christ so that all men can taste it, so that all men can have it. Jesus is not just the son of David so he can be the king, and he is the king. And he is sitting on the throne, and he will reign forever and ever as the son of David. But he also is the son of Adam, the son of Abraham, because he stands in the place of their blessing. And he brought it back to fruition in the earth. He's the son of the blessing. See, the blessing began with one man, went to another, to another, to another, to another, a bunch of people, the children of Israel. And then came back to Jesus and now has another bunch of people. You see, he's the rightful heir of the blessing of God because he has it through both of them. He is the rightful heir. The Holy Spirit is saying that Jesus has more than the throne of David. He's the rightful heir of the blessing of God that is now available to all mankind. Wow, I thought, you're exactly right. So now, I said, all right, so what are you telling me? He said, I'm telling you this, son, you have my DNA in you, in your spirit, because Jesus became sin for you. Just like what he said, when I breathed myself into Adam, he said, I breathed into him and I said, you are now, this is my paraphrase, of course, you are now like us. And the Bible says he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. And Adam became a living spirit, like God, according to the Humash, which is the Jewish historical book. He said he became a living, speaking spirit like God. And at that minute, when God breathed into Adam's nostrils the glory of God, the light of God, the love of God, the power of God, all came onto Adam, and he looked just like God. He had to, because here he is. He's in this garden. The glory of God is all around him. He didn't even know he was naked because the glory of God was all over him. He looked, I'm telling you, Adam looked like God. The glory was there because God blessed him. The blessing of the Lord was all over him, and he breathed on him. And I mean, fire. The Bible says in Ezekiel that God, he was covered with fire from his loins down and his loins up, just blazing like fire. That's what Adam looked like. That's what Jesus looked like on the Mount of Transfiguration. Those guys got up there with him, and all of a sudden it's like Jesus couldn't hold it in anymore, and all of a sudden, he just blazed out. And Moses and Elijah came and talked to him there. But it was just this glory of God. Because of the blessing of God. Now, think about this. When Adam was there, he loved as God loved. He was light like God was light. He was perfect as God was perfect. I mean, it was just there. When I got born again, now this is the truth, when you got born again, the light, the glory, and the image of God came on you the same way. God breathed into your spirit and life came. You were dead. I mean, doornail dead. But Jesus, his life when God breathed on you. Man, all of a sudden, the glory of God illuminated your spirit, man. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's just trying its best to get out of you and manifest in the world in which you live. You might not be able to tell by looking at yourself, but you are the image of him. His DNA is the composition of your spirit, man. It's all in you. It's the real you. Just like baby Autumn is back there. We can't tell from looking at her now what she's going to look like. But do you know what? It's already encoded in her DNA. It's already established. We'll watch her grow. We'll see what she becomes. But what she's going to look like, I mean all the length of her fingers, all those things, I mean it's already there. Her DNA determines who she is. Where did it come from? Her parents. That DNA is in her. That's what she's going to be. Your inner man. Think about it. God gave life to you. Your spirit man operates on the DNA of God. You might not can tell what it's supposed to look like yet, but that's because it hadn't grown up yet. It hadn't grown through you and grown out of you yet. You are love. I'm telling you something, your spirit is love like God is love. Your spirit is light like God is light. Wait a minute now, the Bible says God is light. Yeah, it does. But look what else it says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now, what are you? Light in the Lord. Walk as children who have the DNA of light. Right now, right this minute, you are light. It says live like it. Start acting like it. That's who you are. You don't have to go borrow light from God. It's already yours. It's already there. I don't have to walk in darkness. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you are the children of light. Can I tell you, the children of light have the DNA of light? It's already there. It exists on the inside of them. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, when's the light going to come on? It's already on. It's there. What we have to have is more faith in the promise of God than faith in what we can see in the world. The Bible says this in 1 John 4, verse 17, as He is, so are we in this world. What is He? He's light. He's love. He's good. That's inside you right now. That's who we are. That is our DNA. We are now His children. We are now possessors of His spiritual DNA in our spirits. The Bible says this in 1 John 3, verse 2. These are great passages of Scripture. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Not going to be. Now we're the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now we're the sons of God. We can't see how it's all going to work out, how we're going to look in the end, because the DNA is in us and it's making us grow to be like Him. The Amplified Version says it this way, beloved, we are even here and now God's children. It's not yet disclosed, made clear what we shall be hereafter, but we know that when He comes and is manifested, we shall, as God's children, resemble and be like Him, for we shall see Him just as He really is. When are we going to be His sons? Now, the Bible says. Right now. Listen, because your earthly daddy's DNA is in your physical body and your sibling's body, it is possible and probable that you look like your sibling. Isn't that true? My father is actually my stepfather, but when he was younger, he didn't look anything like his oldest brother. Nothing. But as they have gotten old, they look the same. I mean, they have the same nose, the same ears, the same hair. They look the same. The DNA was encoded from the very beginning that they looked that way. You know what this verse is saying? It's saying right now, boys and girls, you are the children of God. And as you grow up, when you see your brother Jesus, you're going to look just like Him. Because it's already there. It's already encoded in each one of us. There's already the DNA for us to be. His DNA is in my spirit. That means I'm like Him. I am righteous, not sinner. I am blessed, not cursed. Because of His DNA. Because I am born blessed. I'm not trying to get blessed. I'm born that way. It happened the day I made Jesus the Lord of my life. I think about my friend that I told you about earlier. If nobody ever told him that they had any money, he would act like a poor person. But somebody told him one day. The first time he needed to buy a car, and his dad took him down and wrote the check out, I'm guessing. I'm telling you, you're blessed. Because you don't have to be ignorant of it. We don't have to be people who are afraid to do what God told us to do. We are the blessed. Jesus came to reinstate the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Adam, the blessing of the Lord to a new kind of human being. That's you and me. That's what he came to do. It is for us. We know we've been reading this verse for weeks and weeks. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It's in my DNA. The blessing, he came so that this blessing could come on me. He came so this blessing might be mine. Now, when it says the promise of the Spirit here, it's not talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. A lot of people think it might mean that, but it's not. It's talking about the promise that the Spirit promised Abraham. And we know that from Romans 4:13 that says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So he's talking about the promise he made to Abraham, which was that he's blessed, and because he's blessed, he's the heir of the world. And that wherever he goes, the blessing goes. He is blessed. It's in him because God released it. The Bible says in Galatians 3:16, now unto Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not into seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And we read this last week and the week before. Jesus is the seed. It came. That's why he's connected to Abraham. That's why he could become the curse and give us the blessing. But then it goes on to say in verse 29, and if you be Christ's, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to what promise? That we're heirs of the world because of the blessing. That nothing that the world can throw against us can stop the plan of God, the blessing of the Lord that's in us. And then Galatians 3:9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. You were born blessed. I like what this says here. Then they which be of faith are blessed with Abraham. It talks about us being the seed of Abraham. And I know this about the seed. The fruit always contains the DNA of the seed. Always. It has to have it. By the way, let me just mention this to you. You are no longer a Gentile. Well, us Gentiles, no, we're not Gentiles anymore. Let me explain that for just a second. As long as you see yourself as a Gentile, it'll be difficult for you to see yourself as blessed like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were blessed different than the Gentiles. They're different than that. Have you ever made this statement? Oh, I just wish I could be blessed with the ability to make money like Jewish people. You are not a Gentile. Gentiles are people of the world who have no covenant with God. You have a covenant with God. You are, we just read the verses, you are the seed of Abraham. When you got born again, you were born again into the most orthodox of Jewish families. You're now a Jew, maybe not by birth, but you're a Jew by your spirit. But more than that, you are blessed. There are three kinds of people in the world, only three. Not black, brown, and white. Three kinds of people. Here they are. Jews. That's the natural seed, the natural descendants of Abraham. Gentiles. That's everybody that's not a Jew, that's not in covenant with God. And the church. That is, anybody who's made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. Whether you're Jew or Gentile before, now you're the church. And the Bible makes specific promises to the church that are not made to anybody else. And I tell you, when the end comes, you want to be in the church group and not the other two. We are in Christ. We are redeemed from the curse that came on the Gentile world. The Gentiles are those who are without God and without hope in the world. We are those who are connected to God by faith. As children that have been born blessed through Jesus Christ, it's time for us to stop begging and start believing. I mean, if I come to God and I say, "Oh, Father, I beg you to bless me. Oh, God, we're just asking you to bless us. Bless us, oh, God, bless us." I'm wasting my breath. I'm already blessed. It's like going to one of my children and say, "Oh, God, make them a void. Oh, God, by your Spirit, make them a void, I pray." They were born a void. They can't become any more of a void by me praying over them. You see, we've got to understand we are the blessed. I'm already blessed. I was born blessed when Jesus became the Lord of my life. The Bible says this, we read this last week, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." Where's the blessing? It's in the spiritual realm. So our spirit man can grab hold of it in the heavenlies in Christ. Verse 4 goes on to say, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Can I just tell you something? You can't get holy enough to get the blessing. You're already holy. "I don't feel holy. I cussed." I'm talking about your spirit man is already holy. He's trying to work his way out into your mouth so you don't have to cuss. You don't. We're not trying to be without blame. We are without blame. When I said, "Jesus, be my Lord," the blame disappeared because he took it to hell with him. I said, "Jesus, be my Lord," and a new man was made instantly that can't be blamed. They wrote in the book of heaven, "He already died. He already paid the price. Jesus was his substitute." See, we've got to recognize who we are, what we are. I mean, we're already blessed. It's time that we begin to believe those verses more than we're believing everything else. I mean, we believe all kinds of stuff, but we need to believe God. Instead of begging God to bless us, we ought to be developing our faith in what he's already done for us. What has he already done? Man, we need to be understanding, I am born blessed. I'm not going to be blessed. I am blessed. And it is the blessing of the Lord that's going to make me rich. It's the blessing of the Lord that's going to bring the deliverance. It's the blessing of the Lord that's going to bring the salvation that I need. It's the blessing of the Lord that's going to draw all that stuff. It's the blessing of the Lord. Understanding that we are now the body of Christ. And if we're the body of Christ, the children of Christ, we have the DNA of Christ. I'll tell you right now, my head and my body have the same DNA. I don't have the head DNA of a person A and the body DNA of person B. They have the same thing. They're together. I've never gone anywhere without my head. Not one time. Now, there have been times that I've heard someone say, "Is that Randy's head?" It's because they were looking at a picture and they only got a picture of my head. They got something else, my picture, my head was in there. But truly, I don't go anywhere without my head. If Jesus is the head and we are the body, we have his DNA. We are connected to him. We are inseparable from him. I mean, the body says we're the body of Christ. And let me just say where the body of Christ is so you understand how blessed we are. You're born into this blessing. Ephesians 1, verse 21 says this. Talking about Jesus. We're his body. Now look what it says. He is far above all principality and power. He's the head. Where's the head? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. The head is above everything, but he hath put all things under his feet. And where are the feet? They're not connected to the head. They're on the body. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Here's the reality this morning. The head is far above the power of the curse. I have his DNA. I'm far above the power of the curse because the body is with the head. The head is seated at the right hand of God, and the body is connected to the head. You are in Christ. The body, the Bible says he put everything under the feet. I mean, it's under our feet connected to the head. I like verse 23 in the Amplified. It says this, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, for in that body lives the full measure of him, the DNA of him who makes everything complete, who fills everything everywhere with himself. The body is filled with himself. I am filled with him. I'm connected to him. I'm his son. I have his DNA. Woo, man, we have the full measure of his DNA. He enables us. His blessing flows. I am blessed. I'm not going to get there. I am there. I'm not even going to work it up because I don't have to. I am the blessed. Jesus is the seed of Adam and Abraham. He came to restore to us the blessing of the Garden of Eden, the blessing of Abraham. When he was raised from the dead, I was raised with him. When he was seated at the Father's right hand, I was seated right there with him. I'm his heir. I'm joint heir with Jesus, heir of God. I have his DNA. We're the blessed. Amen? Just say that. I'm blessed. Say it louder than that. I am blessed. Father, tonight I thank you for that blessing. I thank you tonight that because Jesus came, he brought this blessing of Adam and Abraham back to mankind. And that we have heard the glorious gospel of God. And we've come back into the blessing of God through the blood of King Jesus. And yes, God, he sits on the throne of David. But he also possesses the blessing of Abraham. In him, we are blessed. I repent for trying to get blessed. I repent for trying to make your blessing work. I am blessed. Now blessed. Now the Son of God. When I grow up, I'm going to look just like my big brother Jesus. In every way. Because the DNA is already in me. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that we can speak a commanding message that says we are blessed. We are right now blessed. I thank you, God. And as I speak and I say, these people are blessed, I know your word's true. Whoever I bless is blessed. And so I declare, be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.